Amen. Thankful for the opportunity tonight to be able to be in God's house and to read from God's Word. This evening I want to look in Genesis chapter 3. If you give me probably about 5 minutes to preface this, I have a little story, a little movie that's been out for some time now that I tried to speak at this recently, and it's meant a lot to me, and it still continues to be on my heart. The movie was called The Last Sin Eater. Now, in this particular movie, there was a group of people from Welch people came over, and they were over here, and as they came into a particular land in the mountains of Tennessee, I believe it was, where they met a tribe of Indians, and to make a long story short, they killed this particular tribe. And anyway, as they continued on in life and they grew older, many of them began to feel a lot of guilt because they just slaughtered this whole tribe. Now, in the Welch setting, they had a particular custom, and this is a true custom. It wasn't just in the movie. This particular custom was that they would take a particular person from the community, and they would set them apart. They would draw straws, so to speak, or cast lots in some manner and way, and they would then choose out from among themselves one that they would call the sin eater. And as the individual died in the camp, they would then gather around this person's body and lay bread and wine representing the sins of the individual. And that sin eater would come. He had to be apart from all of the other community and would come down and would partake of that individual's sins. And then, you know, they would feel that that individual was saved from their sins. Now this continued on because of their guilt that they had. They chose one out from among themselves, and it went on for many years. Now, this movie focused around a little girl whose sister was killed when she was following the older sister. This was a younger sister killed. And this older sister had a lot of guilt. And she sought out the sin eater to try to find, she wanted him to help her. She considered suicide. A preacher man has stopped her. And she wanted to find deliverance from guilt. And we find that the sin eater, he tried to help her while she was living. She wanted she said, I don't want to wait till I die. I need some help now. And so now this young girl was in total misery, and she come across this preacher again, and he began to tell her about the sin eater, and he went into deep theology, and he said, you don't understand nothing I'm saying, do you? And she said, no. And he said, well, let me just tell you, there is already a sin eater. There's only one sin eater, and his name is Jesus Christ. And to make a long story short, this whole story, what we find, everybody was in great misery till the end. They end up killing the preacher man, and then we find that this girl was delivered and had great peace. She began to tell this whole community about Jesus. And at the end of the movie, we find that this particular people, they were baptized. The sin eater now was delivered from his own guilt, his own fear, and was able to be in the community and have great deliverance and was able to enjoy great peace, baptizing the whole community. They were saved that night. I'm not talking about from eternal hell, but I'm talking about from guilt and shame. Now tonight, what I want to talk to you about is that we have a sin eater. And his name is Jesus Christ. Now I want to begin in Genesis chapter 3, because this is really a beautiful story to me. And the very beginning of sin, and yet we find that we see a great deliverance here, or foretold deliverance. And we see a picture of Jesus Christ and his bride. Now, we find that husbands and wives, Adam being the very first husband, we find is a picture of Christ, and we find that the wife is a picture of the church. That is Christ and his bride, Christ and his love. And now we see in chapter 3, we began I'm just going to read on down here, beginning in 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know, in the day that thou eatest thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now I'm going to stop the reading of God's Word, because this is really what I'm after right here. Is that the woman gave of the fruit to Adam, and he did eat. Now, according to Scripture, the woman was deceived. According to the Holy Word of God, Adam partook willingly. Now, what I want to get your mind tonight is that I believe with all my heart, I know from the authority of Scripture, is that Jesus Christ partook willingly of our sins. Now, remember as He hung on the cross of Calvary. Now, even in the very beginning, as He came to this earth, He came with full knowledge of what His duty was to do. In fact, remember He said, a body hast thou prepared for me. And He realized, as you go on down in chapter 9 and chapter 10 of Hebrews, is that by one offering that He was to die to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, we find that He knew this. He understood this, that He came to die. And what I want you to see is that Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, when God the Father, when Jesus cried out to Him and God the Father turned His back on Him, remember the Bible said, He who knew no sin became sin for us. That is, friends, that He became, He partook of our sin. Be it may, He ate our sins, as it were. He, you know, kind of how I picture in my mind is kind of like sin eternally and sins in our life today. And we're going to get into the practical applications, Lord willing. But it's kind of like a Pac-Man. That is, remember, there's one that's eating away. And that's kind of how sin is. Just eating away, killing and destroying. And then you have the little Pac-Man that comes along and eats it up. Well, I'm going to tell you today or tonight is that Jesus Christ, He has partook, He has ate of our sin. And brethren, I want to tell you, He carried it to the grave, and He left it in the grave, and He is resurrected from the grave. So now we no longer have that sin to deal with. I am not afraid to die tonight. Now I might lose that assurance. As that song says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I might lose that. I want to tell you tonight, my friends, that as a child of God, I know from the authority of God's Word that God, as He says in 2 Timothy 1 and 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. It's not according to what you do. It's not according to your action. He says, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before you were ever formed. I want to tell you tonight that you and I were sinners before we were ever born. Even a little bitty baby born in sin, as precious as they are. Because of their parents, the sin follows through into the bloodline. Nowhere do you find the age of accountability. From Genesis to Revelation, we're all sinners by birth. And then before long, it don't take many years or at all when they begin to be sinners. By committing sin, by disobeying parents, by willfully doing opposite to what their parents have determined for them to do. Well, you see, brethren, I want to tell you tonight, we all were sinners. We all had died. But Jesus Christ, the beautiful part of it is that He ate my sins, not because I was worthy, but the children being not yet born. In Romans chapter 9 and 11, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of Him that calleth. As it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith unto Moses, I have mercy upon whom I have mercy. I show compassion upon whom I show compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God had the ability to show mercy, and God does it to whom He will. And brethren, I want to tell you tonight, it's a beautiful thing to me, is that as in Romans chapter 5, where He declared, in Romans chapter 5, He states there, and He says this, He says, for in verse 6, He said, For when we were yet without strength, I want to tell you, a dead man has no strength, and that's exactly where we were. When we were without strength, having no ability, no life, as the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were a dead man. Dead men don't talk. Dead men don't walk. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Dead men have no desire, no love for God, no want of God. But I want to tell you tonight, brethren, that God loved me, as he says here in Romans chapter 5 and 6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Those that were ungodly, and I want to tell you, that was me, that was you, all the family of God. But thank God, God made a provision. He said in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the purpose of the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. My God made me accepted. My God has chosen me. And I want to tell you tonight, my brethren, is that God has ate my sin away. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, and Jesus Christ willingly came, and Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary took my sin upon him. He ate my sin. He just ate it up, just like you think of a gator, just as you think of a Pac-Man, how they eat and gobble things up. That's how he did my sin. He became sin for me, and he went all the way to the grave. He went all the way to the cross and died and shed his blood and gave his life for me, that I would be ransomed, that I would be saved from my sin. But that's not all. That's not the end of the story, and this goes over and over. But I want to tell you tonight, that's one part that we need to be telling people. Because I know people all over that are concerned, that are worried to death about having to save themselves. And they're in fear of their lives. They're in fear, constant jeopardy in their own minds of saying, what do I have to do? What if I am unfaithful? What if I slip? What if I fall? I want to tell you, brethren, that when you understand grace, it gives you great deliverance, because it's not a license to sin, by the way, because he says in Revelation chapter 3 and 19, he says, For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, repent and be zealous. It's not a license, because God says, I love you, brother Mike. God says, I love you. So if you don't follow me, I'm going to chasten you. Brother David, I'm going to chasten you if you don't follow me, if you don't walk in my ways. And in fact, according to 1 Peter, we find that you can even lose the knowledge that you've been delivered from your old sins. So you can't walk in the old way and expect to have the assurance. As that songwriter said, you've got to walk in the ways of God. But I want to tell you tonight, it's something that we ought to be declaring to others, that Jesus Christ is the sin eater. It's not up to the preacher man. It's not up to your good works. It's not up to what you do or I do. But it's up to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has did that already, according to Hebrews. And he sat down forever, having to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He done ate it. He ate it and spit the bones out, and it's over. Because Jesus Christ paid it all to him I owe. I don't owe nothing to the preacher. I don't owe nothing as far as my eternal destiny. I owe it all to God. I owe it all to Jesus. I owe everything to him. So now I have total peace in my salvation, because my salvation is out of the hand of any man. Out of my own hand. Out of my own hand. My new birth is came by Jesus. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God. The living Word, Jesus, has cared for me, and has quickened me, and made me alive, and saved me eternally. Now, isn't it wonderful to have that blessed assurance? Jesus is a sin eater. There's one sin eater. You don't have to worry. And you know, we need to be declaring that to people. God's people need to hear. But brethren, I want to tell you, according to 1 John, I love these passages all through there that declares to us. Now, the law is good. The law makes you realize you're a sinner. You see, that's one thing. That's one problem. When people only want to preach love and grace without law, then people don't understand they're a sinner. And without understanding you're a sinner, you know, that Jesus had saved you eternally, but that you need saving now, without understanding that, you'll never feel a strong need of Jesus unless you have that. And I realize in your heart that many of, certainly God's children, have the Spirit of God motivating and convicting. But I want to tell you, a lot of times people can appease that. And yet when you realize you're a wretched, rotten sinner, and you need the saving of God's grace eternally, and He did that for you, but you need it now. I need it today. Now, again, that's not a license to sin, but if we slip, if we fall, if we sin, and I want to tell you, every one of us has done it in various ways. Now, there are different degrees of sin. People don't like to hear that. They are. There's a sin unto death. There's a sin not unto death. There's different degrees of punishment for each of us in our lives. But I want to tell you about a gracious God. Whenever you repent and return to God, I want to tell you, my friends, that God is gracious and full of mercy. You know what He'll do tonight? He'll eat your sins away. He'll partake of your sins because He already has. And He says here in 1 John, I love this passage. It's one of my favorite in all the Bible. He says in 1 John, He says, but if we walk in the light, I'm going to start in 7, in chapter 1, and go through the end. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. That is, He gets rid of all sin. And He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now listen. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, isn't it beautiful when you think about, brethren, is that you can be clean. I can be clean. I've been cleaned eternally, and one day I'm going to be changed into the glorious image of Jesus Christ where I have spots no longer. In fact, Revelation chapter 1 said that He has already washed us in His own blood, and He has redeemed us in His own blood. But brethren, I want to tell you, in Revelation 7 and 14, it tells us that we're to wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb. That is our righteousness. They're not fit except they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, are they? Our righteousness are as filthy rags. But I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ will eat your sins away. He will cleanse them away. Remember the little, and I'm not trying to put or use a bad illustration, but I reckon that's kind of how I do, is that remember the scrubbing bubbles that you see on TV? Those scrubbing bubbles eat away the grime and the filth. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, brethren, that you've never been scrubbed like you've been scrubbed. No toilet bowl has ever been clean. And that's really what you are, and I am. Nothing more than a toilet bowl. And you've never been clean. No toilet bowl's ever been clean like you can be clean tonight, like you're clean in your life. When the blood of Jesus get done, a vile, wretched sinner that turned it back on God, when that child of God repents and returned to God, I want to tell you, He says that when we forsake our sin, that Jesus will come and Jesus will cleanse us. And we'll feel clean before God. In fact, all of the goats and all the lambs and all the things in the Old Testament, they never made anybody perfect. But the blood of Jesus tonight can make your conscience feel perfect. You can feel clean, holy. You can feel right with God when you fess up and when you turn around. The only sin eater. The only sin eater there is. The only sin eater there was. And the only sin eater you ever need. Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. His blood is sufficient. It was and it is. The blood never loses power. You know, that's a beautiful thought. That's really all I got. The sin eater. Tonight, if any one of you feel conviction of sin, you feel like that you need the cleansing of the blood of Christ. I know there's been times, Brother Billy has mentioned, where people to come down, or people to fess up, to confess. I want to tell you tonight, if there's anyone that feels a need to confess your sins, anyone that needs the prayers of the body, anyone that needs the cleansing of the blood of Christ, that's what the body here is for, is to help you, to pray. We encourage you to call on the name of Jesus. And you know what? You be saved. You be delivered from the guilt and the shame. And you know that's what each of us need daily and continually. So God bless you and me to go to the sin eater, Jesus Christ, every day for Christ's sake. That we can come before the Father in prayer and come before His presence in fellowship for Christ's sake is my prayer.